The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation wants the U.S. to reconsider the size of the bank accounts the government insures. The FDIC's suggestion to lift a cap on business accounts past $250,000 comes after the weekend collapse of First Republic Bank. That bank failed, and all of its deposits and most of its assets were sold to J.P. Morgan Chase, the nation's biggest bank. And now, well, it's even bigger. Has it grown too large? We'll ask a former head of the White House Economics Advisory Council, Thomas Phillipson. He's here with us. He's a professor of public policy at the University of Chicago and joins us by Skype. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, you know, there are regulations to stop banks from growing too big, and in order for this sale to happen, J.P. Morgan got a waiver to own more than the percentage of deposits allowed. Why was this exception necessary?
Well, I think the problem is that we are getting these too big to fail policies are essentially increasing concentration in the banking sector, and that's what people worry about, because that ultimately leads to lower deposit rates and higher interest rates on loans, etc. I think FDIC, when they get into a situation when they're bailing out a bank like First Republic, they're looking at their costs essentially in the future, and they're trying to minimize those. So it's an additional bias that they have for big players. J.P. Morgan is by far the largest bank in the country. It's $2.4 trillion in deposits. And this is just a 3% add to their deposits of taking on First Republic.
What does it mean for consumers? You mentioned interest rates getting higher. What does it mean for consumers when a bank gets this large?
Well, in general, in any industry, when you have a lot of concentration, you have less price competition. Less price competition in the banking sector means lower deposit rates for deposits you make to them and higher rates on the interest rates that they lend out at. So that's the worry in any industry, including banking. The difference is in banking is that there's sort of a aspect of being big is good because you don't have the you have more diversification in your portfolio essentially, so you're less likely to fail, and also the regulations are favoring these larger ones because they have tighter regulations than the smaller ones.
So what does this mean for smaller banks? This particular situation, J.P. Morgan Chase shares now climbing after the sale. First Republic's depositors are okay. But that doesn't mean the same thing for investors who are wiped out here. So in the future, what does this say for smaller banks?
Well, I mean, we've seen a large amount of deposits go from the small to the large with this crisis. It's a pretty big crisis, three of the largest bank failures in the last few months that has occurred. I think, you know, the smaller banks are used to be more, you know, needed in the sense that you needed to actually interact with your customer. Now everything is mobile, so it's not necessarily clear they have the same economic efficiency role as they used to. But mobile banking also makes it a much more prone world to what we call bank runs, when uninsured deposits or insured depositors run to the bank and try to get their money out when there's a crisis. That used to literally be people running to the bank, yeah. But now it's just people clicking to the bank, essentially. So you saw First Republic lose about $100 billion in a couple of days just because it goes so fast with mobile banking.
Now, this crisis, you call it a crisis, what needs to be done to stop more banks from failing beyond these three?
Well, you can't have a fail-free banking system. That's not good for competition, right, or price competition that we talked about. So I think, you know, the poor people in the, in the economy are protected by FDIC. If you have less than $250,000 in deposits or cash at a bank, which you know, covers a large share of the population, you are protected by your deposits being insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So the question is, are you going to have a system where the rich people are also covered by regulation? And people disagree on.
Thomas Phillipson was acting chair of the Council of Economic Advisors in the Trump administration. He's now at the University of Chicago. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.